Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. We are now up to the recreation of man. If you'll notice, the title of the shir on the sheet is the same as last week's. That's simply because I forgot. So, I guess when I have to put this on the computer for posterity, I'll have to come up with a more creative title. By the end of the shir, if anyone has suggestions for the records, I'll take any suggestions. But that's simply... It's not an inaccurate... the title works. The title does work, but...
Creation, take two, take two.
Oh, okay. Perhaps. Okay, that's one on the board. We have one on the board. But we're going to wait till... I'm an executive who wants to hear as many opinions as possible before we make our decision. So if you have any suggestions, but... Anyway, Chatasi. I want to spend an entire shir, and we'll probably do almost all, but probably not even all we could do, an entire shir just on one pasuk. I've alluded to the fact, and now we're getting to it directly, that the centerpiece of Perek Beis is the second take, the take two of the creation of Adam, which of course, aside from other discrepancies, also from Perek Aleph, also here for the first time explicitly mentions Chava, and the work that has to be done to understand why there's two stories, one theme, twin repetitions of creating Adam, and of course, whatever the reason for the both is, why the differences. But before we get to that, before we can get to comparing Perek Beis to Perek Aleph, I think it's methodologically sound. First, we have to analyze and understand Perek Beis itself. Then we'll worry about how to fit it in with Perek Aleph, what the need for both is. And Pasuk Zayin is one of the really jam-packed, juicy, just full of thoughts. It's just an incredible pasuk with a lot to talk about. So we will focus on, it's really one of the most famous pasukim in all of the Torah, and for good reason, and we'll focus on all of that just tonight. And Emir Tashem will then continue in future weeks with not only this story, but then also, if not next week, the week after, but perhaps even as soon as next week, getting to the issue of the discrepancy between the two prakim. You look very nervous, Ellie. You keep on looking at me. Wow. What can I do to alleviate your nervousness? Oh, you're not nervous.
No.
Just, okay. But then I'm like too far away from everybody. Okay. So let's read the pasuk. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esa Hadam. And Hashem created or formed the man, his first creature. Afar min ha'adama. Where are the origins of Adam? Afar min ha'adama. Soil or dirt from the ground. Now it's just worth noting that this is not, we don't have this with maybe one or two exceptions, but barely and subtly, if at all, with any of the other creatures. That we're not told where they come from. We're just told that they were created, not what, the Ramban, or we have Mefarshim who try to suggest some hidden, superpowers that, are materials that led to the creation, but we're not told by the Torah. This is a marked contrast. Furthermore, we're told not only the ingredients for Adam, we're told how God went about making Adam. Again, I'm not talking now about the contrast or the conflicts potentially between both Perek Aleph and Perek Beis and how they describe mankind. That's a separate share. But right now we're just pointing out that none of the other descriptions of the creation of Adam, of the other creatures, or creations, mention not only the ingredients, and B, how Hashem did it. How did Hashem do it? Yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem blew, as it were, into the nose of Adam nishmas chayim. How do you translate that? The soul of life. And what was the result of this act? V'hi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. This Adam was now a nefesh chaya. How do you translate that? Probably a living soul. Now, there's a lot to digest here. We're not doing Perek Aleph. Hold it off. First of all, it's still very different than this. But then I'm not taking any Perek Aleph horrors tonight. No. See more? Behave.
Okay.
I didn't think you'd say okay. It was actually a tefillah shav on my part, but I guess apparently not shav. Shkoyach Seymour. Seymour, you're on tape as admitting you will behave. So what are the problems? I'll either call them problems or points of interest in this pasuk. Think about it critically. What are the issues? What do we need to understand in this pasuk? Good. So first of all, the word Vayitzar. Okay, well, before that, good, good. On your point of Vayitzar, I'm not expecting, although I hope I'm not underestimating anybody, I'm not expecting anyone to make the following point, but it's worth noting that other places in the creation story, in the future, for example, where the term Vayitzar is going to be used, it's really only spelled with one yud. So why does it have two yuds? That's a variation of your point. All we'll call that point number one. Well taken. Number two, what else is interesting here? I'll give you a hint. The second thing I'm looking for is not so much unique to this story because we do have this word, Seymour, in the first parak, but we didn't focus on it in the first parak. So let's focus on now something else in this puzzle. What's the second thing that's worth? So that whole construct of the Adama, what's it telling us? Furthermore, we have a certain title, if not name, that Adam is given. He is Adam. What does Adam mean? What does Adam mean? Why Adam? In other words, that seems to be an actual name, as opposed to a description of other things. Right? We didn't hear about the moon and the sun. We heard about the Ma'aros, the big constellations. We didn't hear about the fish, per se. We heard about Tainim, Gedolim, and things like that. So what is Adam? Why that? Of all the things to choose, why pick that name? Okay, so maybe, and if so, what does that tell us? Okay, that's going to be point number two. Point number three, Hashem Elohim is a good one. I mean, I don't have anything to say about that other than that I saw at least one Mefarish who just pointed out that the fact that the Torah here doubles God's name, Hashem Elohim, shows the significance of what's about to happen. But what else? What's the last? It really goes to the end of the pasuk, which is really intriguing. Not only what is an Eben Chaya, but if you read the pasuk slowly, and I tried to do it as I was reading it out loud, there seems to be two stages in the pasuk. Let's work backwards. If the end of the end result of our pasuk and of this creation is that Adam is a Nefesh Chaya, so it seems that that is the end result, but it seems that that was not the initial result. As it seems, let's read it again. There's two stages in the pasuk. First, Hashem created. V'yitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Ofer min ha'adama. Kama. Right? There's an act of creation there, but apparently it doesn't seem like that act. If we stop there, you don't have a nefesh chaya yet. Then you have v'yivah v'avav nishmas chayim. God blew the breath of life into the nose, and the result of that is Yehi HaAdam LaNefesh Chaya. Now, perhaps, you know, sometimes you get yourself in trouble when you read things too slowly. Right? Certain things are supposed to be read more with a flow. So, perhaps we should read it too faster and not make such a big deal about this. But I think perhaps not. Perhaps something's going on. Again, the sum total, Adam as a complete product is a Nefesh Chaya. First of all, you need to know what a Nefesh Chaya means. Is a living soul. But it's also worth noting that apparently, just when Hashem formed him from the dirt, he wasn't yet a living soul. So what does that mean? Was he a golem? Was he alive but not alive? Right, it's that famous line, right? It's alive! Right, so when do you say it's alive about Adam? In the beginning of the pasuk, is he already alive, or only at the end? So what was he at the beginning?
Material.
Okay, perhaps this is the source of the golem. Okay. Good. So there's a lot to talk about. So let's start with the first. All on one pasuk, okay? We may not be going far, but we are going deep. Okay, one pasuk, but a lot to just learn about one pasuk.
Is the neshama concept mentioned before?
No, this is new. What does neshama mean? The truth is, there's a lot of discussion about this. We're only going to get to it briefly if we have time at the end of this year. Because it's a little bit beyond me, but there's a lot. I could give you my makamas. I could give you sources if you're interested about what the neshama is and all sorts of Kabbalistic stuff. There's a lot of Kabbalah in the Ramban and other mafarshim that do talk about neshama here, because this is it. We're introduced to the neshama here. So look at Rashi, our first issue, which is the spelling and or the meaning of the word Vayitzar. Rashi, right in the beginning of Pasuk Zayin, and Hashem formed. Says Rashi, obviously implied by the two yuds, apparently, shte yitziros, two creations, two formings. Yitzira l'olam hazeh, Adam was created for this world, v'yitzira l'tchiyas ha'mesim, and also formed for the ultimate resurrection, the tchiyas ha'mesim. Aval b'behema, with regard to creating animals, she'ena omedes l'din, they never have a consequence of having to stand before the judgment of God, which is a scary prospect, but the only silver lining of that prospect is, if you'll pass the judgment, you get to go to Olam Haba, you get to have Tchiyas HaMesim, but animals are not at all relevant to that entire discussion, and therefore, lo nichta b'yitzirasa shnei yudin. Therefore, even when v'yitzer is used in reference to an animal, it doesn't have two yuds. Your point is well taken, because when was the yitzer ever used with an Adam? Look ahead, the pasuk yutes. This is why you have a teacher. Okay. A little bit ahead of you, I have to be. But Yizah Hashem Elokim min ha'adama kol chayas hasode. Again, here the Torah repeats very briefly everything else that's created. All the animals, the birds, etc. And you have a Yizah with only one yud. Well, they weren't created differently. They were created differently. That's a different point. But the point is, the Yizah is dafka here, it's used with two yuds, because, says Rashi, it has this dual meaning. Where is Rashi getting it from? What does Rashi say? Or does somebody say for Rashi? What does it say in parentheses? Actually, two things. Take a look. Two things. Bereishis Rabba in the middle, and then Tanchum at the end. In fact, this Rashi is a composite of two Midrashim. Just so you can see them in the original, look at your sheet. I put the two Midrashim in their original form on your source sheet. The first one is the first one quoted by Rashi. There's where the Bereishis Rabba notes, the Yitzar, Beis Yitziros, two creations, Yitzira b'olam hazeh, Yitzira l'olam haba. Man is created twice, one for this one, one for the next.
Also, there's another shot also, Yetzer to Yetzer Har. Rav Hirsch brings that up also.
Oh, good, very good.
Which kind of fits along, because an animal does not have a Yetzer Har.
I want you to know, when I was learning this today to prepare for the shir, that's what I thought of, and I was looking for someone to say it, and I didn't see it. Shekach, thank you. The Tanchuma says, interesting, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ksiv Ba'adam HaRishon, Shtei Yitziros, Shnei Yudin. Adam was somehow created twice, in the sense that's hinted at by the two Yud, Shnei Amar, V'yitz Hashem Elohim was Adam. What does that mean? Yitzir Achas Ba'olam Hazeh, V'yitzir Achas Olam Haba. And that's more or less just a lengthier, more verbose version of the first Medrash. But here, the second Medrash adds on the clincher. Aval Be'behema, V'chaya V'of, Yitzir Achas, Ksiv Behen Yud. Only one meaning they'll have a physical existence, and therefore only with one yud, yud achas, tachsiv, the pasuk later on in pasuk yutes. The contrast to the animals, which gives the shot a little bit more bite, is given by the Tanchuma, and Rashi combines them. I want to just mention briefly a discussion that occurs in some of the Mefarshei Rashi. The Mefarshei Rashi. Take a look, what we call, who remembers what's that? What's the fancy English word for that? Not super?
Supra.
S-U-P-R-A, exactly. The Supra commentaries. So, they might be super too. So, the Siv Seichachamim, which is like the first place you look, the Siv Seichachamim typically tells you what was bothering Rashi. So, here he doesn't say because it's two yuds, because that's almost obvious, but he has, again, I'm not an expert in Siv Seichachamim enough to know how often he does this, but here he just gives his own shot. He's not so much giving, explaining Rashi per se. So, it says the Siv Seichachamim, again, it's within the context of Rashi, if he says, Yesh lomar dahachi perusho. This is what's going on. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu nasan me'achshav koach chiyuni ba'adam. What is Rashi getting? What does that mean, created Adam twice? Well, I mean, it can't be created twice. Adam was created once, right? There was a specific time and place. Adam was created. So it means that Adam was created with chiyuni, is usually translated as vital or essential. There was a certain essential koach, ability, that Adam was created with, and even though he won't need it until much later in the future of history, i.e., to paraphrase the phrase made famous by a Baltimorean, at the end of history, Francis Fukuyama from Johns Hopkins, he thinks we're already in the end of history. That's a different story. So, the end of history, that's only when you're going to need it. But it's already potentially in Adam already now. Shagam la'achar shiyamos, yuchol lachios v'lachsov rotzon Hashem. you're worthy, you'll be able to be recreated a second time, Tchias HaMesim. So don't think that that power for Tchias HaMesim is only going to come whenever that day shall come, speedily in our days. Don't think that's only when you get those who are worthy that power. When you were created, you meaning all of us, like Adam HaRishon, our father, when we're created, we're given both the powers to live in this life that we're given, as well as the powers, should we merit, to be recreated, to be given rebirth to. That's the idea of the two yuds. And that's just a development of Rashi, because again, obviously you can't take Rashi literally, Adam wasn't created twice. It means he's created with this potential for the new birth. Yes? All we're talking about is whatever is in comprise. It's not distinguishing right now.
But it seems.
But this is talking about the goof, and there's no question. That's a good point. This is an important Rashi or Chazal because, as you may know, and you're alluding to, there's a famous machlokes in Mefarshim when there'll be this Olam Haba. Will we be physically existent or only spiritual bodies? The Rambam, ironically enough, the Rambam is the one who says we'll just be spiritual bodies, but the Ramban and others say that we'll be physical bodies, and obviously the simple understanding of this Rashi goes like who? The Ramban. However, and also I just want to point out, on this same approach of the Sesech HaChamim in Rashi, the Pnine Das is Rav Elia Meir Bloch. He was one of the great Telzer Rosh Hashivas. And his students, his son-in-law and his other students, put out a sefer of his Torah called Pnine Das, and he has just a little note on this pasuk. Mikan nira shetchias hameisim lo tischadesh. He's just developing it. He's just fine-tuning the point. Tchias hameisim, whenever it should come, is not going to be a new thing. It's not a new power that all of a sudden will be introduced into the world at whatever time. Ela chayei netach tvuim ba'adam b'tzirasan harishona. The power, whatever it means, tchias hameisim, and whenever that will happen, it's not going to be a new creation. Ein chadash tachas hashemesh. Everything that will ever be needed for the future of the world in any form was created in Rosh Hashanah, including this idea, which is, again sounds like it's out of this world, called Tchias HaMesim. But you see from this development of Rashi, from the Chazal, it may be out of this world, but it's in this world. It's just in potential, latent within each and every one of us. Just take a look for a second at the next source, the Maskil of David. I don't know who that is, but he's one of the Mefarshe Rashi, and he quotes the Sista Chachamim, and he doesn't like it. The Haguf Hazeh, Asher Yotzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Odom Ba'olam Hazeh, he says, Mahani Nam Yot Chias HaMeis, no different pshat. It doesn't, and this is even more in terms of what Dr. Sinsky was saying, but it doesn't mean that there was some latent potential put into man. That's not what the Torah is trying to tell us. What it's trying to tell us is much more literally, the very same body that you're living in now will be the body that you would live in Tchias HaMesim. Nimsa the Yetzira Zu, what therefore emerges, is that this creation of Adam now, the birth of every human being in history, Shaycha Nami L'Tchias HaMesim. That birth is relevant to the future of Tchias HaMesim because it's the same body that was created that one time will just become resuscitated. But near its face, he says, and don't, again, you might have read this quickly and think, oh, it's all the same thing. He says, no, I'm saying something differently. And he says, I'm saying something better, he suggests. V'nir etzvei mimashir kasa b'sesech hachamim. This is better than the sesech hachamim's understanding of Rashi. Why? Toha, hacha, hachkra, la, beruach, yuni, mamish, Dr. Sinsky was machaven to the maskil of David. Everything you just said, Dr. Sinsky. Mamish, everything you said. Because the whole purpose of this Rashi is going on the word by Yitzar, which is in the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is speaking about Adam's physical body. Therefore, don't think, when you speak about Tchias HaMesim in the sense that we had said until now, of the potential for it, that's something more amorphous, more spiritual, somehow spiritually inside of man. Says the Maskil of David, no, we're still in the more prosaic physical, in the physicality of Adam. All it's saying is that very same body will be the body that is in Tchias HaMesim. So it's just an interesting, again, we try very hard to read Pasuk and Chumash carefully. It's also important to know how to read Medrash or Rashi carefully. And you see here two of the Mefarshi Rashi arguing about, again, what could be said to be a very subtle point. You know, you could probably go on with your life very well and good with either pshat or not even being aware of either pshat. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. But you see, I thought it was an interesting idea of this nuance, these two different approaches to what is this notion as symbolized by the two yuds.
It's interesting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through all sorts of doctrine on how do you know Tchias HaMesim in the Torah.
Right. It's not quoted.
It's not one of the proofs.
Because they don't bring this at all from...
From a yud?
Where'd you find
there's
it?
There's no...
You should see some of the others.
Okay. More tenuous than that. Good. It's a good point. Okay, next. Our second point we wanted to discuss is, what does it mean, Adam? Now, we could have discussed this in Perek Aleph, because when Adam is first mentioned in Perek Aleph, there we have the name Adam. But we didn't discuss it then. We are focusing on it now, even though some of the sources I'm going to use come from Perek Aleph, again, because that's where it's actually first mentioned in the Torah. But for whatever reason, we didn't focus on it when we learned it then. Okay, what's the pasuk in Perek Aleph? Perek Aleph, pasuk Chavav, I believe. Just as review, this is the first time we're told about Adam. Yom Elokim Nasa Adam, Etzalmenu, Kidmusenu, etc., etc. Right? We spent all that time back then discussing Nasa Adam, Etzalmenu, Kidmusenu, what is Selem, what is Demus, who's the Nasa, who's the plural, who's God talking to. But we didn't focus then on the term Adam, but that got lost in the shuffle. So let's go back, and now, especially since it's revisited to us here in Parak Beis, what does it mean? What does it mean literally? But more importantly, what is the consequence that the first human being in history, the forefather for all people, of all the possible names, right? Mishkin Craig, not Tommy, and not Reuven, and not Shmuel, Adam. It's not even such a popular name anymore. I know of a certain Rav whose Hebrew, whose English name is Adam, and his Hebrew name is Adam. And it's so strange, just because it's so uncommon. Right. How many people do you know whose Hebrew name is Adam? Not so many. Okay. So the point is, it's not so many, right? Zundel is more common. Okay? But Hashem did not choose, the Torah did not choose to call Adam Zundel and the first person Tommy or Craig or whatever. Adam. So there's got to be significance. What is the Torah trying to tell us by the choice of this name, Adam? So I want to share with you two diametrically opposed pshatim, or virtually diametrically opposed.
That's the first one, Aleph Chavav. I mean, if it's an Adam, which means that could have been a nomenclature, right? The man, or, you know.
So you're trying to defend me for why I didn't talk about it then, I'm talking about it now. Thank you, Barry.
I'm just saying,
right.
I'm not attacking you.
No, I'm kidding. I think the point is worthy of mention, whether it would be here or there. So what is the significance? So I want to first mention something from the Radak. Take a look at the Radak. The Radak, Rav David Kimchi, this is again in comments in Perek Aleph. He's commenting there on this. And the truth is, the similar notion is mentioned at least two times by Rashi as well. The Radak says, where does the name Adam come from? Adam hu lakuach min ha'adama. It's to signify the fact that man has these very earthly origins, right? It was the earth of the ground, which is what it formed the matter that created mankind. Im Kain, there should be a Lamed. Lama Nikra Shmo Adam. After all, Ki Gam HaChayim HaAcher MeHaAdama. Where do you think everything else came from? They come out of thin air. So why of all creatures is Adam the one with the name Adam? Says the Radak, Rasa lahavdilo b'shmo mishar ba'alei achayim k'mo shehu nivdal mehem baruach ha'baguf. There's also the creatures in the world, spiritual creatures and animals, fish, etc. Mankind is unique, and by calling him Adam, differentiates him. In what sense? T'yachayim ha'achayrim, the animals, yadua k'hem e'adama ruach ha'baguf. Their whole essence is strictly physicality, strictly physical. They have no spiritual essence. It's obvious that they're min ha'adama. Therefore, the Torah doesn't have to go out of its way to relate them to the ground, because it's obvious. Avo sharucho min ha'shamayim kara osa adam. But we, the human, who has a neshama, which we're going to get to momentarily, about which is the second half of the pasuk, that God breathed into man, not just a physical creature, but a spiritual essence. So one second, perhaps you would think that we have nothing to do with the adama. After all, maybe we're more just angelic spiritual beings. And therefore, we're called Adam, lahavdilo mechayim ha'elyonim, to distinguish us from the higher creatures, which are strictly spiritual. She'ein b'hem klam min ha'adama, because those spiritual creatures, the angels or whoever, have no physicality. And therefore, karel Adam. Therefore, man was called Adam. Kolomer, that is to say, av v'sharucha min ha'shamayim, even though his spirit, his essence is divine, is angelic, is heavenly, nevertheless, Adam, who he is a mortal human being. Ki gufo nosra min ha'adama, because his body was created from the ground, Kamasha Kosov, quoting our Pasuk, Hafar Mina Adama. So this balance of on the one hand being a spiritual creature, on the other hand being a physical creature, says the Radak, that's why we got to call Adam. I, you'll say, well, that weighs only in one direction. So that's opposite what's bothering the Radak. Should have bothered all of you when I read that first line. So the Radak says no, because in general in life, you know, sometimes you say things because you want to tell them to somebody, and sometimes you say things just to avoid misconception. Right? If it's obvious, you don't need to say anything. We don't need to say that animals are come from the ground. It's obvious that they are physical creatures. But Adam, ooh, mankind, it's so spiritual and such great potential. So you might have thought that they're completely spiritual and have no earthly origins or basis. Therefore, that's needed. And therefore, to thread the needle, so to speak, to make that balance, it's dafka, mankind, Adam, which has the name that signifies min ha'adama. Just so you should know, again, this idea that Adam relates to our earthly origins is something that comes up in other mafarshim. Just take a look, for example, of Rashi and our pasuk a little bit later, where it says v'yipach ba'apov. We're going to get to this, but just look ahead for a moment when it says that Hashem breathed into Adam's nostrils. What does Rashi say? Aso min hatachtonim, made man's body from the lower, you know, form the lower realms. Umina elyonim, and from the other realms. What does that mean? Guf min hatachtonim, Adam's body came from the lower realms, i.e., the dirt. Neshama min elyonim, and his soul from the upper realms. So this idea, if you'll remember, we saw the Ramban way back when. The Ramban in others said, what is na'asa Adam? What was the plural? Na'asa Adam? Let us make man. Not the Chazal that we got taught in grade school, that Hashem is having a conversation with the Malachim. The Ramban said, na'asa means it's plural because man is murkav. He's combined from two things, body and soul. It's the same idea that Rashi is saying here. And the Radak, all in agreement, says, and that's why, again, to strike that balance, Dafka mankind has the name Adam. So bottom line, for all of our greatness, though, there's no question, is so we shouldn't get too ahead of ourselves, think we're all spiritual, bring us a little bit down to size, remind us of our origins. Adam is from the Lashon, Adama, physicality. That's the focus. Okay, that's opinion number one. It's probably the most well-known and the most obvious explanation. But I learned only recently, for the first time, that there's a very fascinating alternative shot. And this is suggested, I don't know if there's anyone else who said this before him, I only found it in the Ha'amek Dover. The Ha'amek Dover, of course, is the commentary on Chumash, written by the Netziv of Volozhin. Take a look at what he says. Fascinating. I have to give you a little bit of a hakdama. I wanted to be able to fit this all on the sheet, so I didn't write the whole Netziv. It's very long. The Netziv starts off by asking the following question. This is, again, back in Perek Aleph. The Netziv is asking, how come the Torah says Nasa Adam b'talmeinu, let us make man? Why doesn't it say Nasa Chaya, we're going to make the Nacha creature, we made fish, we made animals, let's make another creature, and we'll call him Adam. Right? Adam has, again, I've been kind of carelessly jumping back and forth, but let's be more precise now. Adam relates to the species of humanity, but there was a person who had a name called Adam. Right? When we talk about Adam as an Adam HaRishon, it refers to two things. One is Adam, and one is, and by the way, as opposed to John, you know, Tom, Tom, Dick, and Harry, he was Adam. That was his name. So the Netziv wants to know, essentially, why, if he is assuming, at least at the outset, that really Adam is just his name. Doesn't signify anything more, just his name. So why does it say I made another creature? Instead of calling him frog, and calling him lion, and calling him tiger, I called him Adam. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, not Adam, let us make man, which sounds like Adam is more than just his name, also his species. So it's in that light that he has the following. He says that it's because man's characteristics made it, this is still before we're going to read inside, man's characteristics made it obvious when you looked at him that he was very different than the animals, and that he is what we're calling Adam. And therefore there was no need to give him the name Adam, because it was just obvious, self-evident. But then he asks on himself, from the fact that in other places, for example, in Perikei Pasuk Beis, take a look at Perikei Pasuk Beis. What happens there? So Zachar Rakeva Baram, God created man and female, Baruch Hashem, and he blessed them. Yikra Eshimam Adam. There, Adam isn't just who he is, it's the name that's given to him. So the Nativ suggests that this is a little bit of a contradiction. In Perak Aleph is just, let's create Adam. And in Perak Hay, it's his name. Is it a species, Adam, or is it the name of a particular individual? So, to resolve this, says the Nativ the following. The Mishuna Ha'adam Mikol Haminim. Now I'm in the sheet. Man, Adam was different than all the other species that created. Dibachol Haminim, Nivru Ba'open, Shekol Hamin, Shove Batachliso, Ubitchunaso. All other creatures, again, as I understand them, I think it means, let's say, take lions. Lions have a purpose, and they're given personal character traits, characteristics, which are 100% commensurate with what their purpose is. Right? If their purpose was to cower off in the corner, they would have a different personality. But since their purpose is to be king of the jungle, so they're given the temperament, they're given the voice, they're given the strength, they're given the, what's that thing called around the mane? Mane, they're given all that to me, and I'm adding, he didn't say that, right, king of the jungle. So that is all part of a complete correspondence between their purpose and their characteristics. Masha'ein kein ha'adam. When it comes to mankind, it's a little more complicated. All of them are shava, shehei, b'shtei tchunos, which have dual characteristics, not just one focus to be king of the jungle, for example. Ha'echad, what's our first characteristic? Yehei dabuk be'eloka. We're supposed to be spiritual creatures, we're supposed to have a relationship with God, spiritual people. Omen ha'mashamish b'aretz kamalach b'shamayim. We should be living in this world, in a certain sense, like an angel in heaven. There's a second characteristic of mankind. Ha'bei shehei midzini. I don't think he means, as a modern Hebrew, Medini would be like cosmopolitan. I don't think he necessarily means cosmopolitan, a man of, you know, a man of letters with a white scarf flipped around him and, you know, hair blowing in the wind. He means, Medini means like the way Plato uses it, a social creature. A social creature. Supposed to live in the world. Derech Eretz, do work, build highways, make streets, do plumbing. That's important, but it's not spiritual. It's different. Two different things as an Nesiv. That's also Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants mankind to do that. But it's not as high a level as the spiritual characteristic of man. And therefore, he says it in light of that. The first higher characteristic is Adam in his most pristine form. Adam is Le'Elyon. Adam doesn't come from Adama ground, it comes from Adameh. To correspond to it, to appear like Elyon, God. The fact that Adam in his most pristine state is like a mirror image of Hashem, because we're trying to perfect ourselves, to make ourselves spiritual. So Adam is Adameh le'Elyon. Ba'asher hu b'dmus Elokim. I'm paraphrasing now, he's Kalul Kol Kol Zabriya, he has all of the other talents and characteristics, who Moshe Bakol, he's the top of the food chain. So when it comes to Nasa Adam in the beginning, that's the perfect prototype of Adam. Therefore, man doesn't need a name. He is Adam, because it's self-evident when you see him that he has this perfect state. However, I'm just going to read the other part. I'll tell you the other part outside. He says, however, what happens to Adam after the chet? After he sins, and he's not this perfect, pristine being. So he uses a mashal. He says, let's say there was a king who had, I'll make an example, he doesn't give a number, three sons. So his oldest son is Bachor, his heir apparent. He gives him, Mama, she's got like his, you know, stamp. If I have 10 businesses, so you have 10 businesses. And therefore, whenever the son, the crown prince, walks anywhere, it's as if the king walked in the room. Because they know anything he does has the approval of the king, he has all the power of the king. He is essentially the king in junior. Then he has other sons, he got two other sons. So the other sons, whatever reason, you'll have the oil business, and you'll be in charge of taxes, and you'll be the leader of the... They don't have all of the powers like the first son. They have individual powers. But even though they don't have all the powers of the king, and it's not as immediately obvious that they are princes, but if you'll ask a little bit, you'll learn, you'll know they also have connection to the king. So says that it is before Adam sinned, or when we are in our closest first characteristic of Adam Elakel, We don't need to be told that's the prince, because it's obvious. So then it's just Adam. We don't need a name, because we're personifying Adam El Elyon. However, just like the other second and third and fourth and fifth sons, who may not have all the power like the king, and it's not obvious, but yet they are still the princes, they're also sons of the king, so too, even after we sinned, it's only after that sin that the whole idea of work, right, is introduced to the world, this whole second concept of working, etc. So even though you might have thought we're all the way far away, we're not at all spiritual anymore, Kamash Malon, like the other princes, don't have all the powers of the firstborn, but they still are princes, so too we are still Adam in the sense of Adam El Akel, but we needed to have a Nikra shame. We need to be given the name, because it's not as self-apparent. So I don't want to get too caught up in whether you had the name or you didn't get called the name. That's the Nitziv's own personal thing. Whatever. I think it's nice, but I'm not sold on it necessarily. But the main premise that he has, which is so powerful, I don't know if it's right, but it's powerful, is that Adam is Milosho, Adam El Akel. It's not focusing on our more earthly, humble origins, like the Ramban or the Radak might say, but rather it's focusing on our more spiritual, lofty characteristics, our ability to be Adam El Elyon, to be, if you will, a mirror image of Hashem. Yes, Gene. So the idea of whether Adam was a single man and then Chava is a separate creature, or they were, or as the Medrash is going to say, we're going to see this shortly, and not this, shortly, I mean in a few weeks. The idea that, according to some opinions, because as you're pointing out, there are some psukim which seem to be contradictory. There are times where Adam is referred to in Lashon Yachid individually, and there are other times where it's Lashon Rabim. So the Medrash has a machlokes about how to resolve that. And one of the famous opinions is what's known as Du Partsufim. That the Adam we're talking about now actually was a two-faced, not two-headed, but I think, as I understand it correctly, two-faced creature. If you will, the front or one side was a male face, and the back side was a female face. Adam was created that way, du partzufim. Then when the Torah says that Adam was taken to sleep and Chava was fashioned from his rib, she wasn't fashioned out of nowhere. She already existed. But that, until then, God had an idea that man and female could be one creature. Then God realized, no, they have to be two separate creatures. But they were, so that issue, or how to resolve that, is not necessarily particularly a problem for the Nitziv. That's a problem in general. But I think he would say, whatever he'll answer for that, the point is, before that ever that any of that happened, the creature called Adam, whether that's a single or both, it doesn't matter. Either way, they were so obviously perfect and spiritual, they personified Adam Elyon. Okay. He doesn't say that, though.
He doesn't say
that. I don't think. I don't remember him saying
it.
Let's put it that way.
Say, but now it's understandable why it says, could you say that?
Okay, could be. Yeah. I don't know. This dirt. Let's get to something very important. We're running out of time. I feel there's so much here. Mom is so much here. It's so good. It's such interesting things. Okay. Oh, your father, for the record, anyone going to the TA dinner next week? Okay, well, if everyone told me they were going to the TA dinner, I would have considered canceling this year. But since almost no one's going, so I'll make sure to be back. I have to be there for a variety of reasons, not least of which is this is going to be my first movie. I'm going to be on the video. So it's that, I can't miss it. I may not ever get a chance again in front of a camera. And I did it only on one take. So anyone who sees the video, if you have any complaints, they only said I needed one take. I'll give autographs afterwards, yes.
You're in a lot of
hospitals. Well, okay, fine. I've never interviewed for a tape before. A movie, anyway. Not a tape, it's a movie. Okay. So let's take a look back at Rashi. The next issue I want to discuss is getting back to this Adama. So it's Adam min ha-Adama. Why is it important for us to know Adama? What is that? What's the significance of that? So take a look at Rashi suggests two opinions, two very famous opinions. Rashi says, Ofer min ha-Adama. First opinion, Savar Afro, God collected, when he's making man's soul here, man's body, he collected the dirt, Mikol Ha'adama, Me'arba Ruchos. I'm the second Rashi in Pasuk Zion. He collected dirt from all four corners of the world, north, west, south, east, and west. That was five, right? Shekol Makom, I got you there. Shekol Makom Shiyombasan, what's the reason for creating man? This dirt, where did it come from? It came from north, west, south, and east. From all four corners of the world. Why? Shekom makom shiyamos, anywhere, it gets a little depressing, anywhere you'll die. Shem tehe kolataso, there the earth will, so to speak, take him, lekfura, he'll be absorbed. In other words, nebuch, and will turn to dust, me'afar l'afar, so it shouldn't be an incompatible dirt, because all of our dirt, wherever we are, we're coming from, so to speak, that dirt. All the dirt in the world comprises, right, the dirt is dirt, says Gene, right? Exactly. Dirt is dirt. And in case, like always, again, I don't want to do it inside now because we're running out of time. If you take a look at the Medrash Tanchuma, he has an unbelievable description. Again, it's classic. Rashi's paraphrasing a Medrash. The Medrash here is more elaborate. The Medrash says basically that when Hashem wanted to create Adam, so all of the dirt said, we don't want him and we don't want him. Well, he's going to sin and he's going to do this. Don't create man. So Hashem says, well, you know, I'm a rachamim, I have mercy, we'll create him. But it didn't sound like the earth was so happy about this. So Hashem was worried that if a person comes from America and he'll die and he'll need to be buried in the somewhere in the Far East, they're going to say, we don't want him, he's got nothing to do with us. No, he comes from your dirt too. And if he's a Chinaman, but he dies in America, so American dirt, okay, we don't want him. It's like, no, he comes from you too. That's the Medrash's more vivid and elaborate description of exactly what Rashi paraphrased here, the idea that we came, Adam is created from all of the dirt, and that way we are more naturally at home in our final resting place. No one can, so to speak, doubt us. Then Rashi has a second explanation. What's the second explanation? Davar acher, notol afaro, mimakom shenem arbo mizbeach, adama tasali. Not from all the dirt in the world, but from dirt from one specific place. What was that place? The makom hamikdash and haram oriyah. The place where the Mizbeach is, in the central part of the Beis HaMikdash, where it's referred to, right, in Shemos Perchof, Mizbeach is referred to as the Mizbeach Adama. It's not really dirt. Why it's called that, if we'll get to Shemos Perchof, we'll learn then. But that could be a few years, I think. But that's the key that the mission of the Medrash plays off on, and it's there that the dirt came from, not from all the world, but specifically from Yerushalayim, from the Mokam HaMikdash. Why? What's the significance of that? Halavai Tihelo kapara, because listen, you're going to sin, but at least the potential for kapara, for forgiveness, symbolically is already created within mankind. We're created from the dirt of the place of repentance of kapara, where the mizbeach is. Just for a second, take a look at the second page. You'll take a look at this medrash. Bereishis Rabba. This is where it comes from. Rabbi Brecha, Rabbi Chava, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachman, Amru, Mimakam kaparaso nivra. Again, here also you have that Hashem says, "Hare ani borio somi makom kaparoso v'halava yamod." Hopefully, this will work. Again, even Hashem sounds he's nervous, but if He gives us the power to repent, the power to do tshuva, hopefully, it will be that way. It's interesting here. The Medrash continues. Rashi doesn't quote it. Right here, he points out why is it dafka v'yipach? Hashem blew this into us. Malam shehi midu golam min haaretz. Man was just a golem. Right, that's where the term comes from. This Medrash, a golem, just a physical, lifeless form. But he's very tall. He went from Ara Art to Rekia, right? Adam, the Medrash says, was super duper tall, all the way to the heavens. Bezorach bo neshama, but then he got blown in this neshama. Lepishav olam azeh benevicha, but since it was only blown in, the Medrash assumes that's not so a strong connection. Nebuch lepichach mei. So eventually, that's going to be departed, and when that departs, you'll die. Aval la'osid, but in the future, then we're going to get this back. In Tchiyat HaMeisim, but it won't be blown into us. It'll be Benesina, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. We'll be given it, and that's a more permanent thing. I just mentioned the end of this medrash because it's interesting that just like it's a parallel to what we saw before of the two yuds, that there's a tremendous consciousness and a strain in Chazal, even at the outset of Adam's being created, of these two worlds, both of this world and the power future for in the future for Tchiyat HaMeisim. Yes.
The Rav had a beautiful port putting these two
injunctions. I'm just about to get to it. This is the essay. Right here. 13 pages. Okay. I don't know if we're going to get to it. Well, I'll just mention it very quickly since Ethan mentioned. Before we do that, let's see how much else we can do. I wanted to mention one thing or two before that. So to develop each of these answers, to take one at a time, and then we'll see why you need both. So take a look at the HaMikdavar. Again, for the sake of time, I'm only going to paraphrase. The HaMikdavar is developing the first approach in Rashi. First approach in Rashi, the first medrash is that where were we taken from? The four corners of the world. That's where the dirt comes from everywhere. So the Netziv elaborates on this. He doesn't focus so much on our death. It's a little bit too morbid. The Netziv says, it talks, this highlights the superiority of man. Unlike animals which are born in a certain place and in a certain climate. And that's pretty much, with very few exceptions and slight variation, where they can survive in that place or similar climates. Man can be born anywhere, and even wherever he's born, he can be born in a cold climate, he can move to a hot climate. It takes you a little while. My parents moved to Miami Beach a few years ago. My father just stopped sweating last year. But you can acclimate. Certain people are too, don't like the hot, don't like the cold. All right, there are people with everyone has their idiosyncrasies.
Eskimos live in the tropics.
Yes, that's the assumption. Yes, they could. It would be harder for them. I'm not saying it's not easy, but it would be hard for them as opposed to a penguin. A penguin, you'll never find a penguin in any natural habitat in the heat, right? Right. That's that. They have their natural habitat, and that, says the Nitziv, is part of the superiority of mankind. I saw late a few years after the Nitziv, but the Avnayim Lutar of Zalman Sarotskin says something very similar. He also says, you know, the Rashi is talking about death. We could say the same idea with a twist about life. Now, first I thought it meant acclimate, and I think it does, because I looked up in a dictionary, and if you look at the Nitziv, also quoted the word aklim. Aklim means climate. So, lehit aklim is to acclimate. He can live in different climates. He can adapt. He can acclimate in different climates. Lachayos b'chomokom can live anywhere, says the Osnayim Lutar of Zalman Sarotskin, right? One of the progenitors of the Telzer dynasty. He says, abikol kazor haaretz, anywhere in the globe. Mikav ha-mashveh, what's the kav ha-mashveh? The equator. Kav is a line, mashveh is equal. That's Nikav ha-mashveh, the equator. Ad sir ha-tzafoni v'hadromi. So to the North Pole or to the South Pole. And same idea as the Nativ. What about the Kapara? What's the significance of the Kapara, the second Rashi? The significance of the first opinion in Rashi, these two Mefarshim bring out the superiority of man, the adaptability, etc. The second point, which I think is very consequential, even if it's a little bit slightly depressing, but it's consequential, it's important to know, is you see, according to that opinion, again, especially Rashi develops it from the Medrash, that from the very outset, remember, this is Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet. Right? Nothing's, we're all perfect so far. From the very outset of creation, already inherent, as we say in Hebrew, Licht, in the Bria, already in the Bria, built into the Bria, is man's fallibility. We're already worried about Kapara, you didn't do anything wrong yet, right? I can imagine this happens all the time with my own kids, it happened to me when I was a kid, right? Where your mother or someone's just screaming, you watch, you say, but I didn't do anything! But they know, just give it time, you will! Right? We do this all the time with our kids, and for good reason. So Hashem, according to this, did it with us, so to speak. Why did He create us from this dirt? Because it doesn't make a difference if it is called a machet, and if it wouldn't have been Adam, maybe it was inevitable, inherent in our humanity, is our fallibility, and if we're going to be fallible, we need a way to rectify, if we should hopefully take that option. No one forces us to rectify. But we have to have the ability to rectify. Shem, hey, kapara, so it's from there that you can have your kapara, and that needs to be already built in to the beginning of creation. So Ethan referred to the fact that it's interesting, both of these opinions are beautiful. And it's different, Mepharshim only mentioned one. Why does Rashi mention both? It's not like there's one medrash that says both. There are two separate medrashim. Rashi collects them both. Why both? So in 1973, April 14th, that was just six months and 4 days before I was born, April 14th, 1973, Soloveitchik gave a speech, of all places, I don't know the context here, at Rutgers University under the aegis of B'nai B'rith Hillel. And in 1978, 5 years later, it was published in the magazine Tradition, called Majesty and Humility. So it was, in that journal, 12, 13 pages. It's a long essay. But his basic premise is that mankind has these two components. There's the majesty of man, the greatness, and the very humility of man. And he connects these two. Again, I'm not doing nearly this essay nearly justice, but I can give you a copy if anyone wants to read it inside. It's beautiful. These two Rashis. The idea of Arba Ruchos, the way he develops it is, again, similar a little bit to the way we saw, but he gives it a more of a kick. He speaks about, again, We're no stranger in any part of the universe. The native sun of the sleepy town is at the same time the sun of parts of distant and unknown. A short man is a cosmic being. And it's not just cosmic, it's intellectual. Intellectually, we're not afraid of anything. Experientially, mobility, we can move from place to place. We're everywhere. And that's part of the majesty. We're not scared of anything. We're not scared of any questions. We can go anywhere. We're majestic. He speaks about how, here he speaks about the longing, the fact, why does mankind need a space program, he says. Why don't we just send unmanned robots up to the moon? Because man's not happy with that. We don't want to just send an unmanned drone to the moon. We want to go to the moon. That's all part of this tchuna b'nefesh, this part of the majesty of man. He says that in a different context. But this is where he says this idea of the majesty. That's the first opinion in Rashi. The second opinion of the Shem Tekaparoso, so it's a little bit, I have to read it more carefully, but on the one hand, you speak again about the fallibility of humanity. That's obviously a very humbling experience. And also, he speaks about, again, not being from everywhere, but from being that as much as we travel the world, that we can be jet-setters, it's not enough. We need to have a place we call home. We need to have a place that we... And he speaks here about being in an airport and seeing people who are completely alienated from tradition. Nevertheless, in death, being in the airport, going on the plane to be buried in Israel, that somehow in the the deepest longings of our soul, even Jews who are far apart, we want to go back to that home. That as great as we are in terms of our powers, there's a certain vulnerability that we have that's part of our humility as human beings that needs the security of a place called home. And he speaks again about the fact that it's not just that there are different types of people, there's no question certain people tend in one direction or another, but that to a certain extent, everyone has both of these characteristics. And we adapt one way or another, sometimes better, sometimes not as well, to different circumstances and develop these characteristics. But in essence, both of them are really necessary to be a complete human being. And therefore, Adam was created with both of them. Okay, can I have 2 more minutes? Okay, it's really important. I'm not doing it justice, but I'll paraphrase for you the remaining sources on the sheet, which is the famous, famous issue, the very, very important question of... what is the Nefesh Chaya? What is the Nefesh Chaya? What does that mean at the end of the pasuk? Nefesh Chaya. So perhaps the most famous explanation is quoted by Unkelus. Unkelus, the convert, Unkelus Hager, wrote a Targum, an Aramaic translation of the Torah, which is in the classical editions of the Chumash. What does he say here? Look at the third source from the bottom. The Napach Apuhi Hishmasa Dechaya. He breathed into his nose the soul of life, and what was the result of that? So our pasuk, what does it say in Chumash? V'hayla nefesh chaya. How does Unkelus translate that? V'habis be'adam l'ruach memalala. It was in man the ability memalala to speak. So there's 2 things that he adds. First of all, he changes l'adam to be'adam. We'll have to see if that's consequential. Second of all, he says, what's the essence of being a nefesh chaya, a being that has a soul, unlike previous creatures? Ruach mamalala, the ability, the koach of speech. The Ramban has a very, very, very long, and let's just say very, very long, just a very long, only one very. One very long, but very, very hard, 2 varies for the hard quality. Degree of difficulty is 2 hards. Piece on this. It's because the middle part of it is very, very Kabbalistic. And he basically, it's interesting, it's Kabbalistic and philosophical. He starts off with a discussion about Lycus, Plato, and Aristotle. Does man have 3 souls or 1? This is the Ramban's discussion. He essentially explains, he takes the Unkelus approach, which he says is connected to the opinion that there are multiple souls. Why? Because that's how he reads our pasuk. When Hashem created, remember we asked how you should read the pasuk in 2 parts or 1? Because you have to read it in multiple parts. But Yitzhar Hashem Elokim Esa Adam, we're not a soulless being, we're already Adam. So we were given that first soul. That's the first part of the pasuk. But apparently there was something lacking. We didn't have it all then. Second part of the pasuk, V'yibet Pa'ap of Nishmas Chaim. It was only when we had all of the souls, all of those characteristics, V'yi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. We were the complete. What was the last thing that was given to us? The Nefesh Chaya. In other words, the Ramban develops this idea from Unkelus that in the first part of the pasuk we weren't complete yet, but we were already different than animals, and we had life. We weren't lifeless. Whereas he suggests in the name of Other Mefarshim that if you read the pasuk, if you hold like the first opinion, I remember this Plato or Aristotle, that there's only one soul, and that one soul contains all of the abilities that humanity has, That only happens at the end of the pasuk, he says, which means that when you first have a Yitzer Hashem Elokim as Adam, so he describes that man was supposed to be lifted up off the ground as a golem, as a soulless being, lifeless. And only when the end of the pasuk, when the soul is breathed into him, then he takes life. So as Adam, I ask the question, when do you say, it's alive? In the beginning of the pasuk or the end? So Ramban says this is connected to the machlokas Plato and Aristotle, and he goes with the approach of Unculus, which assumes that Adam was already alive in the beginning of the pasuk, but he didn't have all of his faculties. And what was the main one that he was lacking, which makes him complete? The power of speech. A very famous Unculus, not as famous, but an important Ramban. I want to conclude with something that I just saw today for the first time. It's fascinating. Rav Zalman Sarotskin, the same, again, the Dayan of Lutsk, his son became a Telzer Rosh Hashiva, whose son is a Telzer Rosh Hashiva. The Sarotskin is one of the great rabbinic families of the last 100-plus years. He and his Sefer and Chumash quote this Unculus, and he asks the question. Everyone makes a big deal about this Unculus. Anyone who's ever been in yeshiva has heard of Musar Shmuz that you have to talk like a mensch. Why? Because Unculus says that what is the neshama of a person? It's the ability to talk. Many of us have heard this idea before, even if we haven't seen it inside. So you ask the question, right? We have to think critically. Why? What's the big deal? If I had to ask you what distinguishes man from all the other creatures, would you say the ability to talk? Speaking, he says, is much more, is an external way of giving over, of communicating what you are thinking. Das, the ability to think, to comprehend, to be rational. That should be the crowning distinctive characteristic of humanity. Why does Unculus and those who follow him, the Ramban, make such a big deal? He quotes even here, I didn't put it on the sheet, that in the Tzvila Zaka, we speak about how in Erev Yom Kippur that many of us say, it's very long, but he quotes the pertinent line where he speaks about us different than other creatures because we talk. He says, I don't understand, that's the big deal. Why is it such a big deal? So he says something that's so fascinating on too many levels that I can't develop. He says, basically, knowledge alone helps no one but the person who has the knowledge. What good is that? Knowledge that's not shared and communicated is essentially worthless. Humanity has a cumulative body of knowledge. He's talking here, you look, everything he's saying is true about Torah, but he's not talking about Torah. He's talking about science, philosophy, technology. He uses the word Mada. He says all of that, he says, they came up with who knows what genius things in time of Plato and Aristotle. But Plato, thankfully, they wrote them down. He wrote them down. His Talmidim wrote it down. Then future generations came, and they built on it. They argued. They distilled. People, someone first they found, you know, gravity, and then they found this, and this is the whole concept of science is based on this progression. Each generation builds on the next. If you didn't know about it, how could you build on it? The whole body of knowledge, he talks about all of the things that we've been able to accomplish. He says we're on a much higher level than we were. Because the sum total of our knowledge is much higher. It's every generation is constantly perfecting and perfecting. None of that would be possible without Dibur. And he writes in parentheses, Uksiva Kedibur. Right, exactly. See, it's a turn of a halakhic phrase. He doesn't mean it halakhically. He means it's the ability to communicate, to share the knowledge. And therefore, he doesn't say it so much exactly, but what I would say based on what he was saying is, enekonami, if you want to know about an individual person, what makes them unique, not like an animal, it's the fact that they can think. But here we're talking about Adam as the father of humanity, of all mankind. What makes mankind unique? What allows us to develop and have progress? It's the fact that we don't only think and come up with ideas, but we share and we leave them. He talks about from generation to generation, which can build and progress. So what allows humanity to be superior to all other life forms is the fact that not only do we have knowledge, but the ability to share it. He doesn't say so, but it's implicit that if we can share it, we are also obligated to share it. In a different context about Torah, Soloveitchik actually once said that a Rav, or it could be anybody, it doesn't have to be a rabbi, who has Torah that they keep to themselves, is as guilty as the Gemara says, a Navi who is given a prophecy and doesn't share it. Navi Shekovish as Nevosa, which is a capital crime. You're not given Torah for yourself. You're not given science for yourself. You're given it to share. And that is the crowning achievement of humanity, the ability to share and to grow together. There's a lot of Musar in this piece. I'll leave it to your imagination. Thank you very much. I'm sorry we went over.